from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. This is the Chancellor's Report, featuring Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Here's your host, WUWM General Manager John Hess.
On today's Chancellor's Report, we take a look at what UWM is doing to eliminate the higher education equality gap. Our guests will discuss UWM's Moonshot for Equality program and the role that the Higher Education Regional Alliance in Milwaukee plays within the Moonshot program. Our guests today are UW-Milwaukee Chancellor Mark Mone, MATC President Vicki Martin, and Georgia State University Senior Vice President for Enrollment and Student Success, Tim Rennick. It's so nice to have you all on the program today. Thank you for joining me.
Great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Well, I wanted to kind of start off a little bit about how the three of you got to know one another and started to work together. So, Mark, why don't we start off with you? Talk a little bit about how you got to meet these guys.
Thanks, John. This is great to be here. This is such a powerful concept for us to be able to talk about here in Milwaukee today. We're really proud of what we've done. I began working with Vicki Martin back in 2014. We took a blood oath to work together in higher education here, and then we joined with Milwaukee Public Schools to form M-Cubed. Vicki and I have got a great 7-year history, and I could not be more proud of the accomplishments that we've realized so far. I was very fortunate then to meet Tim Rennick. Professor Rennick is nationally among the foremost people in college completion strategies and tactics, helping lead Georgia State to nothing short of meteoric accomplishments. And he's been to Milwaukee a number of times. And I met him in February, was able to introduce him. And I'll tell you, the video that he was able to share with us that day, featuring him, where we taped him, has been used a lot, and it's made major impact. And I know that Dr. Martin would probably say the same, but it's significant to have these guests on our show today.
Well, Tim, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what your thoughts are. You're in higher education, and obviously we're coming up on an inauguration with a new president and a new cabinet coming available as well. What are your thoughts on the selection of Miguel Cardona as the Secretary of Education? He spent a lot of time working on, in his career, focusing on the achievement gap and between Latino and Black students and those who are white or of Asian descent. So talk a little bit about that and how that plays into what you guys are all working on regarding the Moonshot for Equity program.
Yeah, I think the role of Washington is important in these efforts. What we're trying to do is bring about equitable outcomes for college students, close what are currently glaring equity gaps nationally in graduation rates for white students on the one hand and students of color on the other. And having advocacy in Washington, not only through the new Secretary of Education, but having a First Lady who is an active community college instructor, professor, I think these are good signs for what will happen over the next 4 years and can only add to the momentum that we have going on in the Milwaukee area.
Vicki, how do you feel about having a new leadership in Washington, moving from Betsy DeVos to a new cabinet head? How does that change the picture for what you think is higher education?
Well, if you really think about what President-elect Biden has been advocating, and that's around ensuring that working adults have a chance to come back and earn credentials. That's the same kinds of things that we're working on as well. And I think to have someone in the Secretary of Education who comes from public education, as well as Dr. Jill Biden, who teaches at a community college, I think that bodes well for all of us. And with a focus on equity, as Tim just mentioned, those are the sorts of things that we're working on. So the other thing is he does want to have a focus on STEM, and we do as well. Um, I know Tim probably will talk about it later, but they've had great achievement results with eliminating equity gaps. In fact, their students of color have actually done better in the STEM field. So I think that we can learn a lot, and I think that we're going to be supported as we move forward to really ensuring more family-sustaining wages and a focus on public education as well.
And we know that Secretary Cardona just really has come out of the school systems in, I believe it's Austin, Texas. I think that's where he's located. And Mark, talk a little bit about that, of having somebody who comes so, new out of just really working in the system, especially how it relates to, especially to the COVID-19 issues that higher education is going through right now and will continue to go through this year, at least in the first half of this year.
Thanks, John. I think there's two aspects of your question I'd come from. One, to your point, being part of the system, being an educator, also having a background as a person of color, there's going to be a greater sensitivity, greater understanding. From what I've heard from Secretary-elect Cardona, he really gets it. And what Dr. Martin talked about in terms of the public education aspect, that to me bodes very well for where we're going to be in the future. The other aspect that I think is critical that you're talking about on the pandemic front, you know, as much as we want to say, the calendar turned over, we're in a new world. We had some pretty bold people in the fall talking about, we won't be testing beyond March, we're going to be in the vaccinated world. I think the reality is, as we've seen how things are playing out, I do think through most of 2021, we'll still be with the effects of the pandemic, certainly from a testing and environmental, you know, the safety, the foundation that some of us look at as defense, because we're not as able to move on offense to the things that Dr. Rennick is talking about in terms of those glaring inequities. To really bring that together, it's even harder. We know from a Hechinger report about a month ago that families with $75,000 or less are three times less likely to be able to attend college compared to the previous fall, relative to students who come from incomes of over 100,000. This is challenging. We've also seen students of color less than 27% nationally, 27% down. These are the effects, the real effects of the pandemic. They're disproportionately felt. So this redoubles our effort. And when many campuses have run away from or said, we can't commit to these larger equity issues, we have said in this region, the four campuses, Milwaukee Area Technical College, UW Parkside, Carthage College, and UW Milwaukee, have said, this is even more reason for us to join in and to really say, it couldn't be more important at this time, given our missions and given the needs in our community, given the disproportionate impacts, not only of the pandemic on education, but on lives, on incomes, on so many other facets of elements. We already knew that Milwaukee, looking at the study from MMAC, was at the bottom, the very bottom, in terms of incomes and opportunities for individuals of color. This is just so critically important, because we know the role of education, as both Dr. Martin and Dr. Rennick have talked about, in terms of family sustaining wages, jobs, avoidance of a lot of the deleterious effects of not having education and stability in your family.
And I think the last year has really shown this in a lot of ways, not only in terms of the pandemic, but also the things that we've gone through last summer with George Floyd and what's been happening in the communities. Tim, I want you to address this on a national level, and then Vicki and Mark, I'll talk to you more about what's going on regionally. But how realistic is this goal to eliminate achievement gaps in 10 years, given the calls for this systemic change in so many areas in our society to achieve racial and social equity, like healthcare, as we've talked about, or the justice system? These are areas that often affect the ability for someone to attend college, let alone complete a college degree. So, Tim, talk about that nationally, and then we'll go back to our region here in the upper Midwest and talk about that too.
Yeah, John, I'm very optimistic about our ability to make inroads that we've never been able to make before in closing equity gaps. And I speak very personally about this. I mean, Georgia State University is a very large public university in downtown Atlanta that would not seem to be the place that would generate transformative change. Our student body is getting a lot more diverse. When I arrived as a faculty member, it was a majority white institution. This fall, it's 75% non-white. Over 60% of our students qualify as low income. But what we've been able to do by using some of the moonshot for equity approaches, which is using data to track students, to give them timely support proactively, to intervene when the students need help rather than when they reach out to us, which is often after the point where we can be most helpful and so forth, is to actually eliminate equity gaps. We've had 6 years in a row at Georgia State where our Black students, our Hispanic or Latinx students, and our low-income students have all graduated at or above the rate of the student body overall. In fact, as Vicky mentioned a few minutes ago, our Black students now for 5 years in a row are graduating at slightly better rates than our white students. That was unheard of a few years ago. And for 5 years in a row now, we've graduated more African Americans with bachelor's degree than any other college or university in the U.S. This was an institution that was segregated as recently as the 1960s and grossly underperforming for our students of color a decade ago. And if that's not enough evidence for my optimism, about 5 years ago, the state of Georgia consolidated us with the largest community college in Georgia, Georgia Perimeter College, and said, do the same work there. Try these same techniques at this community college. This is a community college with about 18,000 students on five campuses throughout the metro Atlanta area. And in less than 5 years, we've tripled the graduation rates at Perimeter College. And this fall, we, for the first time, we eliminated equity gaps there as well. When consolidation was announced 5 years ago, white students were graduating at rates 2.5 times the rate of Black students at Georgia Perimeter College. This fall, white students and Black students graduated at exactly the same rate. I don't think this is a pipe dream. I think it's something we can accomplish. And I don't think we need to see this as fighting against other issues of justice like healthcare, economic justice, and so forth. Because again and again in national studies, education has been shown to be the pathway to better healthcare. People who have college degrees have longer life expectancy because in part they have better healthcare throughout their lives. They have greater social mobility, they have greater income levels and so forth. Their children have a better education, better life expectancy and so forth. So I don't think education is the sole answer, but I think it's a critical part of the puzzle. And if we can close equity gaps in higher education, we can begin to close equity gaps in some of these other areas as well.
You know, we're looking at where you are, Tim, in Atlanta, which I would say is a very progressive city, especially for people of color and African Americans. Let's take the focus then up to the upper Midwest, to Milwaukee, which is it tends to be a fairly segregated city. And dealing especially with a lower economic situation with people of color. How is this situation similar to what Tim's dealing with in Atlanta, but also very different from what he's dealing with in Atlanta? And Vicky, let's start with you.
Okay, when we really look at our region and we look at the equity statistics, we often show up at the very bottom for measures of economic prosperity. Some of the biggest gaps are in education, as you heard before, health disparities, incarceration, especially around a certain zip code that we talk about often, around income, job opportunities, and home ownership. Just reading the book Evicted, we know there's issues around that as well. And so we are well aware of what the issues are here and our need. And that's why I think it's so important that we come together and we look at those best practice models. I have to tell you that I often lamented about, I just wish the high schools did a better job, or I wish that the adults had kept up to date on all their skill sets that they learned a long time ago. But I have to tell you, when I attended a conference and heard about the work that Tim Renick was doing at Georgia State, my mindset shifted completely in terms of what was possible. Because instead of thinking about our students coming to us college ready, I thought about, and as Tim has talked about many times, are we going to be student ready? And with that, we embarked on a number of change initiatives, looking at what we call guided pathways through our National Association of American Community Colleges. We looked at EAB and the work of Dr. Renick and Georgia State, and we said, oh my God, it is possible. It is possible to implement these best practices. They're going to work across this country. And I think what it does for us is it just clarifies and magnifies the urgency that we feel in our region to move this along. As we started working, and there's a goal for Wisconsin's called 60 Forward, which is to make sure that 60% of our citizens in the state of Wisconsin can be competitive and at least have some sort of post-secondary credential. The Lumina Foundation looked at the data and said, if we could just move Milwaukee County and Racine County to have their students of color succeed and complete and finish some sort of credential, we could move our whole state. And with that, we brought that information to HERA, which is the Higher Education Regional Alliance, which Mark chairs. And it's composed of all the 2- and 4-year institutions. We've had Dr. Rennick in to talk about change management strategies, about thinking about what are those key game changer strategies that we need to employ and deploy. And I think we know what's going to make the difference. There's evidence of this across the country. The research is clear that if we work together, we leverage our resources, and we focus in on those key game-changer strategies, we're truly going to be able to move our reach and move the needle.
That's fantastic. Mark, do you have anything to add to that?
You know, Dr. Rennick and Martin said things so eloquently and well. I'll just add a brief comment, maybe stating this a little bit differently. I think what you heard from both Georgia State and MATC is historically we've looked at the problem almost from a deficit type of model. And historically, we would say the problems, and this is a common refrain, I said it for decades, you know, the challenges we've had with retention and completion are twofold. Preparation prior to higher education, something's wrong with K-12, we can't fix that overnight, you know, so that was the lament. And the second one is income. You know, our students just don't have the needs, and we don't have the scholarship models, or we can't lower our price. If you really think through, though, the systematic procedures, and I am fortunate to know I serve on the Urban Suburban Universities board with Tim's colleague, Dr. Mark Becker, the president of Georgia State, and he will tell you, just like Tim will tell you, there's nothing magical. It's a mindset. It's a cultural change. It's using data, but it's one issue at a time. You just have to relentlessly work at it. But the big issue is you've got to stop and say, how much of the problem is us? In other words, meeting the students where they are, as opposed to recognizing and coming up with all the traditional excuses. So I think that's the mindset that you're hearing about, and why I'm optimistic, because we've started that change, put in place a number of the practices, but it's not an overnight type of thing. As Tim would, I think, share, it was a 5-year journey for the addition of Perimeter College, but probably a 10 or 12-year journey at Georgia State. In fact, Tim, you referenced kind of where things were in the 1960s and where you are today, but this doesn't happen overnight. But with the willpower, the mindset change, and really a lot of the culture, that is what Vicki and I can really help lead, following what models Tim and Mark and others have set before us.
You know, I wanted to back up just a little bit for our audience and talk a little bit about, in a general sense, what's the moonshot for equity? Let's explain that a little bit more so the audience understands what the concepts are behind that. So, Mark, can you explain that a little bit?
I'll give just the briefest of overview. Number one, the simplest way to think about the moonshot is that we have a goal in this region to completely eliminate, for the 4 colleges that are participating, the achievement gap by 2030. It's that simple. I don't mean reduced by 3% or 12%. I mean completely eliminate. That's the big, bold goal and why it's such a moonshot. But like the shot to the moon, we got there, and we will also get there. Components of that are what I mentioned earlier, the use of technology and data, putting the control into the lowest level decision makers that are closest to the students and the students, using that data in a predictive way, but also proactive and invasive. Then there's the issue of the strategies and the tactics around everything that we look at in terms of looking at this from a process perspective. Is it the registrar? Is it the advisor? Is it something about the hang-up of some deposit that didn't, you know, get made? Every single one of those types of points. So it's working on process types of issues. And the other component is having willpower and persistent leadership that engages this, all surrounded with a change management philosophy of urgency. So that would be the starting point.
Vicki, anything to add to that?
Oh, yeah, that was a great job. What really attracted me to this as well was the technical support that we're going to receive to really look at issues around equity mindedness and that curriculum. And what does that mean for our collective institutions? Having folks like Georgia State, Tim Renick, and others around the country helping us with really looking at what those best practice pieces are, because I need to say we're constantly looking for new information, and I know that that's part of the technology that we're going to use is the predictive analytics of what else have we missed, what else can we figure out, what did we learn, and that constant continuous learning cycle, that process improvement, so that we can keep learning from each other. And I think having the four of us working together on that moonshot will help our whole region, because what we learn by working together, and there's a piece of software in here that is about transfer. And so we're going to know about those students who are interested in being in transferring to different institutions, and we'll have that knowledge about what's going to make the difference, because as we know across this country, not enough students of color are transferring to four-year institutions. Two-year institutions are attracting more of those students, but we need to make sure that if that's their goal, that they are successful in making that transition, and that's part of what we're working on with this moonshot. It's also something that Mark and I are working on with an initiative called M Cubed with Milwaukee Public Schools, is to really make sure that we have that pipeline built, that we are helping students succeed, that we are giving them the advising, that we are giving them the information, the program of study. But if you can imagine, a student could start at our institution at METC, and they could have the 4 years just mapped out. And they would know exactly what they need to do, and they would stay on course. They would know what program they need to be in. And as soon as they tried to get off that program, there would be some kind of intervention, probably an IBOD who come in or chatbot and say, hey, you know what? You're not supposed to be doing that. You know, you need to go talk to an advisor. And I think just learning those things from each other and learning what those best practices are and what works for us in our region will help not only our region and our students, but those across the country as well, as we share information from others who will do the moonshot as well.
Well, and also you've mentioned this Higher Education Regional Alliance and we've mentioned it on the show before, but you know, I think it's important to sort of talk a little bit about HERA and how it interweaves itself with the Moonshot for Equity and why HERA is sort of unique with higher education organizations, especially in a region that aren't necessarily, the organizations aren't necessarily connected institutionally, but they work together. So talk a little bit about HERA and just overall, what's the idea behind it, and then how does it sort of integrate itself with the Moonshot?
Maybe I'll start with that.
Sure.
There's those two facets that you mentioned, John. One is the what is HERA? HERA is not just the 18 higher ed members of the region, 7-county region. They represent over 140,000 students in higher ed today. It's every private, it's every public, 2-year, 4-year institution. It's really a collection that has built trust and realized significant accomplishments already around innovation, around better linkages with industry. We're joined by 11 community-based organizations. This includes the M7, which is an economic development partnership. We've got the Greater Milwaukee Committee. We've got our African American leadership. We've got our Hispanic leadership groups. We've got Asian leadership groups, as well as other consortial approaches to K-12 and other linkages. So those folks are all at the steering committee table. 29 people make for a pretty lively conversation when we have our monthly meetings. But you've got the presidents and chancellors of every single organization. And that alone is a feat. There's three fundamental goals. Number one, around college completion. And that's how we embraced the EAB and the work that we're talking about here today around Moonshot. If it weren't for HERA, we would not have the regional Moonshot equity effort underway. The second area is around partnerships, much like what Dr. Martin just talked about in terms of transfer agreements or other innovative programs. We're working on, for example, a critical thinking badging certificate in a consortial type of approach. The third goal is around stronger industry and employer linkages. We have a lot of employers in the region, a lot of Fortune 500 companies that don't recruit for many of those 140,000 students. They're missing huge opportunities. Likewise, the students are missing huge opportunities to work for not just the major employers, but other employers that may be more regionally siloed. So these are the background areas. And I think in that context, I probably answered the second question. If it weren't for the Higher Ed Regional Alliance, we would not have the type of work that's happening today around equity. Another example of that is that we have engaged through the moonshot work, Dr. Sean Harper of USC. And Dr. Sean Harper is one of the leading experts on equity training for our academic institutions, anti-racist, anti-bias types of training, and other types of things. And we'll be engaging him, and the whole region will be able to participate and benefit. I want to give Dr. Martin a special shout out with her colleague, Dr. Ford. They have led the college completion effort work in the Higher Ed Regional Alliance, and they have been able to help us move the needle in significant ways, which is important for the whole region. So Dr. Martin gets a special shout out with Dr. Ford for that.
You know, and in the time we have left, Tim, I want to bring you back into this discussion and talk about EAB recently, the education company EAB recently named Georgia State University's Perimeter College as the winner of its Student Success Collaborative Return on Education Award. Tell us what that award is and why it's important.
Yeah, thank you. The award recognizes the fact that in a five-year period, Perimeter College has totally transformed its graduation rates and eliminated equity gaps for students based on not only race and ethnicity, but also income level. I think why it's so important, I mean, winning awards is always nice, but it sends a message to others across the country that this is doable. Well, you know, I'm part of a generation that grew up on research that showed equity gaps start in eighth grade math scores or third grade reading scores. And some of us wrongly believe that by the time the students get to us at college, the gaps are written in stone and beyond our control. And I think what this award signals nationally is another way of saying that it's on us. You know, as leaders of higher ed institutions, we have both the power, but also now the obligation to do something about these equity gaps, and that the award shows we can do something about these equity gaps.
Yeah, I think that's certainly very, very important. And just briefly, I guess, Vicki and then maybe Mark, can you talk about the two-year degrees that MATC and UWM offer and how your institutions are working to increase the student success through those two-year degrees?
Right. Well, so we are employing those same game changer strategies that we know work. We are working together and making sure that we have more transferability of courses, that our students can start with us and transfer. And then if they want to come back, they can do that as well to get some other industry credentials. That badging that Dr. Mone mentioned earlier is really critical and important. We want to make sure that we can apply those as a credit sort of thing once a number of badges are earned as part of a pathway for our students in industry. And we are just working on more and more programs, especially in healthcare, in the STEM field, that we know that will make a difference in our community and making sure that students stay on the pathway and are successful.
That sounds great. Now, I can tell you we could talk about this for another hour, I'm sure. And definitely we'll have you back to talk more about this. But I want to thank you all. Our guest today on the UWM Chancellor's Report has been UW-Milwaukee Chancellor Mark Mone, MATC President Vicki Martin, and Georgia State University Senior Vice President for Enrollment and Student Success Tim Rennick. I want to thank you all for joining me today on the Chancellor's Report. I am WUWM's General Manager John Hess, and I want to thank you for listening.
You've been listening to The Chancellor's Report, featuring Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. If you'd like more information, go to uwm.edu/chancellor.